Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by HipChat. Collaborate, save time, and be more productive with your teams. HipChat is IM, video chat, plus file, code, and screen sharing all in one place. Invite your team members and get a free 30-day trial of the full version of HipChat at HipChat.com/AllAboutAndroid. And by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Go to squarespace.com and enter offer code AboutAndroid at checkout to get 10% off. And by LegalZoom. It's National Start Your Business Month at LegalZoom and the best time to create the business you've always dreamed of. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but they can connect you with an independent attorney. Visit LegalZoom.com and use offer code AAA in the referral box to save even more. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 203. Boy, it's been a day. Recorded on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2015. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards. Not really. And we're having a hard time remembering what show we're doing now,
not,
aren't we?
Not really quite sure what happened there. I suddenly blanked. I was like, I see darkness in my brain.
Oh, no. I'm surprised it took 203 episodes for that to happen.
I made it through, though. I didn't say the wrong show.
True, you did, yeah.
You know, I didn't say Buzz Out Loud, so it's cool. It's good to have you back, sir.
Good to be back. Good to see you. Very exciting week. It's quiet. It's quiet in Android world.
You know, there's nothing happening in Barcelona, Mobile World Congress, where today's guest, Matteo Doni, is joining us once again. How's it going, Matteo?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Thanks for your dedication. So you've been up how many hours solid right now? By the way, it's 2 a.m. in Barcelona. How long have you been up?
I believe it's since Monday morning.
Jesus.
So it's been a while.
When you describe how long you've been awake by days,
yes, I was going to say
that's a new level of awake.
Oh boy. Okay, but you've imbibed in some drinks. You had a Negroni and some champagne a few hours ago, as evidenced by your Instagram feed, right?
I'm well fueled.
Okay, man, I hope so, because I've been in your shoes and. It's usually about midnight where I'm like, yeah, I don't care. You guys are all going out to have fun because I need to like pass out.
Start thinking about that hotel bed and the pillow.
It's not easy. So,
but you're in Spain and they just go all night in Spain.
True.
I mean, yeah. So all that meat, you know.
True. Yes. What is it? It's the what is the meat there? It's
I forget the name.
Jamón. There we go.
Jamón. Yeah, that's what it is. Yep.
Have you enjoyed some jamón?
Yes, I have. A lot of the finger food that I was eating earlier contained it. So.
Well, I'm kind of jealous about
it. One of my friends is at Mobile World Congress, and he posted on Instagram like a big thing, and I was like, oh, I'm so jealous.
Someday we'll get to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Before we get to, Mobile World Congress stuff, we might as well just talk real quick because Android distributions happened, numbers happened, and it looks like right now – Lollipop's finally kind of past the 3% mark. It's 3.3%. KitKat's holding strong at 40.9%. Jelly Bean looks like it's somewhere around 40%, and then everything else kind of falls off a cliff from there. So, Lollipop numbers jumping up.
It's interesting. I didn't see it in the rundown. I don't think it, but the article about how Chrome support is stopping at Android 4.
Yes, okay, good time to actually bring that up.
Which I thought was, and there's another story later on we'll talk about, but like the subtle nudging of trying to get Lollipop distribution up, you know?
Basically, if you're on Ice Cream Sandwich, the current version that's pushing out of Chrome for Android is the final version that you'll be updated to, and beyond that, Google's going to stop supporting Ice Cream Sandwich in their Chrome app, just basically saying like they can't
just not develop for it. Yeah.
They can't iterate if they're constantly, working on supporting the previous versions. And I mean, as far as this distribution is concerned, Ice Cream Sandwich is pretty low, almost 6%. So pretty low.
I think that makes sense. And it's an indicator that they're going to, as you look at the shifting numbers, we got to see Lollipop numbers go up. And so these numbers have got to come down.
Yep.
That's one way they come down. So, Interesting stuff.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, so we are changing things around, the order of things around, not to make... Okay, by the way, Brian is out. He's out sick. Pour one of your Negronis out for Brian later when you go back out drinking again before going to sleep, Mateo. Or maybe you're just going to stay up and go to the booth next day. I don't know. But
I think we've scheduled an episode of All About Tyson, haven't we?
After this, we can just roll right into it. Sure, I'm down if you are. If you haven't passed out by then. But we do have Zach, who actually edits this show normally, filling in for Brian on the TD desk. Zach, thank you, and I'm sorry to throw you to the wolves like we are going to today.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, fantastic.
He knows he's got a short leash, so I'm watching Zach.
We told him before the show, mess-ups in transitions is practically a character in this show, yeah. So it's cool. It's cool.
And it'll be tough to replace Brian. But I'm... Brian would have played the rim shot.
Yeah, well, so. It's okay. You can't expect everything. He'll get there. But we are changing things up a little bit, so we're going to start with hardware this week from Mobile World Congress, drawing it out so that Zach can play the hardware bumper. Go ahead.
Part of me wants to think that he just did that to let you to see how long you would go. So
I enjoy that, actually.
I'll give that to Zach.
I'll go forever.
I absolutely did.
All right, cool. Okay, tons of hardware.
Let's do it.
And I know, Mateo, you've probably seen a lot of this up close and in person. Let's start with Samsung. And, you know, as we go along, Mateo, tell us kind of what you saw. But obviously, the ones we've been expecting, the Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge. So this year... there are two Galaxy S6s, basically. 5.1-inch device, 2560x1440 Super AMOLED display with 577 pixels per inch. They are indeed going the Exynos octa-core processor, 3 gigs of RAM. 32 up to 128 gigs of internal storage, Android 5, so Lollipop out of the box, 16-megapixel rear-facing camera, 5-megapixel front-facing, and 2550 milliamp-hour batteries, and 26, actually, 100 milliamp-hour battery for the Edge device. Now, the Edge device is curved on both sides, so it's similar to the previous Edge that had it on one side. And I got to say, it looks a lot better when it's uniform.
It just makes sense.
I know. It totally... totally makes sense. Did you see these in person, Mateo? What did you think?
I did. I got a chance to play around with some devices. I was warned that the software was non-production, as in it wasn't finished. But the hardware is gorgeous. It's really, really nice, really well built. And I'm actually more attracted to the Edge than I am to the flat one.
Yeah.
As much as I like the aesthetics of it, one of the reasons I have a Samsung Galaxy S5 is that it has replaceable batteries,
mm-hmm.
and yep. it's not a fragile phone. You can give it quite serious punishment, and it won't crack. My feeling holding the S6 and the S6 Edge is they feel a bit like the iPhone 4 used to. So very fragile, easy to break.
Yeah, exactly it, right? Like they definitely, Samsung, by all accounts, is putting design, kind of the design style approach ahead of everything else this time. From an aesthetic point of view, I really like what they've done. I love the look of the S6 with the Edge on both sides. I think it makes perfect sense, and it doesn't look quite as weird as the single-sided Edge. And, you know, I'm a nut for a device that's, you know, metal unibody, yep. and everything. They're kind of doing that here. But you're right. They had to sacrifice some things in order to do this. There's no removable memory. So no micro SD, there is no removable battery. And those are two things right there that a lot of fans of the S series swear by.
Those were selling points.
Yeah,
those were reasons why people got those phones, as Mateo tested right there. And mm-hmm. so I'll be curious to see if that really matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it the kind of thing that people will gripe about, or will they not buy this because they can't get it?
Right. Right.
Well, it's to be seen. Samsung have essentially gone through a revolution in the last 6 months since the launch of the Note 4. Their handsets are all now starting to have metal unibodies. More and more of them don't have expandable storage or exchangeable batteries. So I think it's a it's a company-wide decision to go this way.
Mm-hmm.
And only time will tell. The storage options they're giving are very, very generous, very large.
That's true.
So they start at 32 gigabytes, they then offer 64, and then 128. So I'd be surprised to see if anyone were complaining about that.
Well, you know,
the choice they're offering.
You know, true diehards in the external storage camp will definitely complain about that, and they'll be the first to tell you that, you know, Samsung got rid of the things that made the S series valuable to me. No waterproofing. They're not doing the waterproofing this time around. So they've sacrificed a lot, but what you got in turn is this kind of new stylistic approach that looks nice.
It's thinner this time around, you know, because you don't have that removable battery anymore. So mm-hmm. they got some, you know, millimeters in terms of thickness out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing is the edge, because of the way it's built, it looks much thinner than it is because the curved edges go down.
It's an optical illusion. Yeah.
That's a really good point.
That's interesting. Well, everything I've read from people's reactions to it they've all seemed to have been lots of praise, pointing out the things that are gone, but still saying this is a winner.
Yeah.
And I mean, Matteo, do you agree? Do you think that, you know, would you move to this phone even though it doesn't have the removable battery and the storage?
I'm going to hold judgment on that for personal use, but I can quite comfortably say the average person in the streets going into a mobile phone store, if they got to play around with these, they would lust over it. It's so well built and so lovely to hold.
And very different really looking from the competition. Yeah. Although some people would say it's strikingly similar to the iPhone 6.
I'm sure Apple was there when the announcement happened. Lawyers are there just taking notes and not of,
There are parts of it that do, but there are some serious parts of it that don't. Apple is absolutely not doing.
I hopefully we're beyond the litigation and the suing of ideas and all that sort of stuff, because it's getting to the point where the phones are getting, you know, the pieces are settling as to the elements that make a good phone, whether it's shape and format and size and things like that, and getting down to, you know, the color of the bezel or the mm-hmm. size of the button or anything like that. It's just let the phone be and let it run, you know. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we don't have to worry about that, although it is strikingly similar.
Totally.
But hey, that worked. It sold a lot.
Trimmed down TouchWiz, definitely, and we were hearing rumors of this, and that's absolutely the case. They've improved TouchWiz. I think it's Android Central, had a story on kind of side-by-side comparison of TouchWiz before and TouchWiz after, and I have to say, on all the shots, it looks more Lollipop. It looks a little bit less of Samsung's kind of proprietary thing, and it just kind of looks nicer. It definitely looks more modern and fits the paradigm. That player up at the top actually has controls inside it. If you want to take a look at more.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing is when you get a device in your hand, you notice that there's a lot less apps pre-installed on the device.
Yeah. Yes.
It's much, much lighter on all the S services and apps.
Yeah.
They can obviously be installed at a later date through the Galaxy App Store.
Good.
Right, because that's the first thing. You open up the phone, you charge it, then you install all the S apps that were missing, right? That's the first thing.
If that's what you're looking for. I know, right? If that's what you're looking for. I'm curious to see.
I recently went through the Lollipop update on my Samsung Galaxy S5, and it revived all the apps I had previously disabled, which is slightly frustrating.
It's a feature.
So this would be the reverse. You get a new phone, you want to install all the S apps.
Yeah. And let's see here. What am I? Yes, 40% less add-ons. Actually, Samsung called that out specifically. Nice. On sale April 10th, white pearl, black sapphire, and gold platinum colors. No pricing as of this point. And another kind of little bit of Samsung news ties in with what we talked about last week. Dang it, Tizen, you sneak in there all the time. Stop doing that. Samsung announced that its newly acquired Loop Pay technology will actually arrive on the new S6s later this summer. They're calling it Samsung Pay, using that magnetic secure transmission that Loop Pay is kind of known for, as well, you know, in conjunction with NFC. And a new fingerprint sensor, actually. We didn't mention that. On old devices, on Samsung devices, the fingerprint sensing was done with a swipe motion. This is now more similar to Touch ID, where you just basically you tap your finger to it and it reads it automatically, which is the obvious direction that needs to happen for that type of technology.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good, and that would tie into this as well, allowing you to authenticate purchases and stuff.
Ties it into it?
Ties in to
it. I'm glad, and we'll talk about it a little more with Google's announcements. I'm glad to see that we've all kind of settled on the noun pay as the nomenclature for any sort of payment system.
Hey, it makes sense.
Nobody's getting cute with it. So,
makes sense.
Yeah. Interesting that Loop Pay or Samsung Pay will be on all the S6s. That's a pretty aggressive move into that direction. So.
Good.
All right. Well, Samsung wasn't the only player at Mobile World Congress, as we know. Fan favorite HTC was there, and they got a few things which are pretty interesting. First, on the phone side, we got the HTC One M9, which I got to say looked very pretty.
Yeah,
it was a very pretty looking phone.
I mean, it looks a lot like the M8.
It does, but still, like the M8 is pretty too. Mm-hmm, so
true. That.
Yeah, so very similar to the M8. It's got a fully anodized metal body throughout, dual tone finish, gold with gold and silver. They also offer other colors, gunmetal gray and gold, and pink and gold for your fashion needs.
Fashionistas.
Yeah, exactly. It's 5-inch phone, 1920 by 1080 display, 64-bit, 2 gigahertz octa-core, Snapdragon 810. It's got 3 gig of RAM, 32 gig of storage. It's got a micro SD card, 20 megapixels, rear-facing camera, front-facing ultra-pixel camera. It's running HTC Sense 7 with Lollipop and Boom Sound with the Dolby partnership.
Yeah, Dolby so, this time is a partnership. Yeah.
So that's a pretty formidable phone. And there, you know, you might not have the replaceable battery, but you got a micro SD card. So that's a little bit if you were addicted to your micro SD card on your Samsung. Yeah. Matteo, did you get to hold the M9 or see it?
I did indeed.
Yeah.
The HTC stand in hall number 7 is very, very interesting. It's mainly the HTC M9, which in my view is more of an evolutionary development compared to the previous flagship, compared to Samsung's revolutionary one. So they took everything that was good with the M8 and improved on that. Interestingly, the screen is still as good as the M8 one. It's the same resolution. The rest of the hardware is very, very nice. I'd say the only thing I haven't seen or played with the camera software, apparently it's not finished, but the camera lacks optical image stabilization, so there may be some issues with that in terms of the quality of pictures.
Was there OIS on the Ultra Pixel version of the M8? I can't remember. So I don't know if that's like a loss. But, I mean, what you get on the other side is you get a 20-megapixel rear-facing camera, which a lot of people...
Yeah,
and then that Ultra Pixel camera has now moved to the front, so that is your selfie cam, in air quotes.
Yeah.
So I think that was probably a good move. I'm curious to see photo samples, though.
I do think it's Matteo's point about it being an evolution as opposed to an iteration. You know, like I feel like with the M line of phones, you know, with the, you know, going from the M7 to the M8 now to the M9, it's just they're seeing what works and are tweaking it and like you said, moving the camera, you know, kind of adjusting as needed just to make a good current phone. It doesn't need to be reinvented every time.
Right. Right.
And, you know, again, I think, you know, having the HTC One phone is one that you can suggest to somebody like that is a solid phone that will do you well, you know, kind of, you know, generally.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like the M9 continues in that direction.
Yeah.
Now, you will remember previous to Mobile World Congress, there were some rumors that HTC was going to unveil a wearable at the show. And sure enough, they did. We got introduced to the HTC Grip, which is not Android Wear, but it is a GPS fitness tracker. They've partnered with Under Armour, which echoes of Nike Plus and things like that.
Yep.
Under Armour, the folks who they make the shorts I wear when I go running.
fitness.
It's got five sensors.
Sorry, I was just saying that's some endorsement there.
Hey, it's what I buy.
You heard it here first, folks.
I wear their shorts. It's got five sensors for workout tracking. It's got a 5-hour estimated battery life. And there's no heart rate monitor on it, but it's compatible with external sensors over Bluetooth. It's got a multi-sport mode for tracking not just running, but cycling and other sports. And it's going to be available in the spring for $199. So did you expect to see a wearable that wasn't Android Wear from these guys?
I think I kind of did expect to see one that wasn't Android Wear, only because HTC had said months ago, we're doing a wearable, but it's going to be entirely different. And if it was an Android Wear device, I mean, all Android Wear devices, except for the design, are pretty much the same. So I think I kind of thought they were going to do something different. I just didn't know how different It turns out it's a fitness band, but it's a fitness band that has some good sensors in it and has some kind of good, coordination with other devices and things. Yeah. So maybe that's enough. Is $199 expensive for a fitness band?
I feel like it was. I saw that. I went, oh, does it come with a pair of shorts? That's what I want to know. Like,
that would be nice.
We'll throw in a pair of shorts. I'll take it. Yeah. But yeah. I don't know. Mateo, did you get to take a look at this one or how did it feel?
I haven't actually worn one, but I have seen one in a glass box, and it looks cool. Yeah. My question is it really, at the same price you can get, say, a Sony Smartwatch 3, which covers a lot of the same fitness functionality, is it worth getting the sports band or an existing Android Wear watch?
Right.
So only the market will tell us that answer.
Yeah, and I guess the real HTC or Under Armour.
Or Under Armour fanboys. That might be the bigger tie right there. I don't know.
I mean, you might have some brand loyalty there. Yeah. You might have some people do it. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, I'm not particularly one that's looking for just a fitness tracker. Like, that's why I like the Android Wear, because it does that and more.
Right.
But so I can't really get in the mindset of someone who's into that stuff. But, you know, it looks pretty cool. But that wasn't it.
Oh no, there's more.
And what I thought was one of the more interesting trends at Mobile World Congress is the proliferation of VR, because I don't really think VR
is becoming more and more a thing.
I don't feel like VR is very mobile, because it's kind of, you've got it because you're kind of situated in what. But anyway.
Yeah, I guess that depends on how you define mobile.
Right, yeah. But the HTC Vive was announced, and it's a VR headset in a partnership with Steam, including support for the Steam VR platform. The consumer version is going to launch Christmas 2015 with a dev edition coming out later this spring. So HTC and Steam getting in bed together on the VR side of things. So you've got Samsung and Oculus, HTC and Steam.
Oh, VR is and Google and Cardboard.
Google and Mattel.
LG has their VR.
Yep.
And everybody's kind of doing their own thing here. Although VR, this is a little bit different than Cardboard, isn't it?
But yeah, exactly. But is VR Is this a case of consumer demand or just technical ability? Like, hey, we can do it.
Every TV is going to have 3D capability for right now? Is that what we're looking at now? Or is this legit? What do you think, Mateo?
VR has its use cases, and I'm quite excited by some of them in the way that you can present a location to someone and maybe inspire them to go to that place. But I think it's very difficult to sell this in its current iterations, because the resolution, as high as it is, it's still not good enough for some things. And how do you create content apart from video games for it? So things like taking cameras, you need special cameras, equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Ultimately, the sign of success of this is at a trade show like Mobile World Congress or the Samsung's development event, the conference, they don't have sick marks on the carpet around the VR stuff, because it is one of those things that a lot of people still feel nausea with. They hit that uncanny valley between how realistic it is and how uneasy they feel, because they're moving in the video game or the simulation, and they're not in real life.
I always hear that when talking about VR, where people are saying, they're like, oh, did you get nauseous, whatever. Like, I don't get nauseous, so I don't get car sick. I don't get, like, I've been on cruise boats. I haven't been one of those people who needs Dramamine or anything like that. So I don't know. I can't imagine what that's like, but I guess it's a problem because I always hear that get brought up when you talk about VR.
I mean, I have to say, Gear VR, we talked about it on this show. I played around with it. Jason Cleanthes here at the studio bought one, and he let me play with it for a while, and I was really impressed. Samsung's approach then, was not, we plan to sell a million of these. It was more like, let's do this and see what happens. And if we want to spend more time focusing on it, which, by the way, the new Galaxy S series will have VR, Gear VR that matches those. So they're definitely supporting it further and further. It's really cool. It's just interesting to see. I guess I never expected VR to be the next attachment for your smartphone.
That's the thing, and it's all over MWC. And so, and it's the kind of thing where I'm really curious what the development path was at HTC. Was HTC like, listen, Samsung's doing this VR thing. We've got to be competitive, so we need to do it. Who can we work with? Okay, let's talk to Steam. Or did Steam say, Steam's, hey, we want to do VR? Mm-hmm. You know, like, who asked the other person out? That's kind of what
Steam
I
has a VR store, right, I guess, yeah. You know, so they have...
But they're like, we want a device. We want some sort of hardware to do it, you know? Like, so, who knows?
Yeah, I think there's maybe some competition going on between Steam and Oculus Rift.
Oh, totally.
Oculus partnered with Samsung, so Steam said, who can we go with?
Yeah.
And selected HTC.
But again, do consumers want it? That's the thing, I don't know. Like, coming out of this, everyone's going, oh, you got to get that HTC headset. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Well, like, is that could be a Christmas trend is later this year? Is that going to be the big gift?
It could be, but I think VR needs something like a killer app. Yep. So it needs its Angry Birds that will make everyone switch to a touchscreen phone. The same thing, there needs to be a killer app that is really, really good, that everyone wants to play and will upgrade their phone.
Well, that's
really hard to do.
No, I know what that app is. Every phone and goggle combo comes with a free ebook of Snow Crash by Neil Stephenson, and everyone reads it and they go, "Oh, okay." And then they understand.
But it's not a visual presentation.
No, it's literally just a book. Someone's got to then build that environment that we all plug into. But that's the beginning.
This is a really good book that I'm reading on my goggles
virtual reality.
Yes, about virtual reality. I understand now. Yeah, and that's the hard part with VR too, is like 3D, although 3D maybe was a little bit better, easier to explain to someone. Mm-hmm. But VR, it's really hard to explain to someone that this is a killer app of VR, and you'll understand it when I explain it to you, because VR is so much about an experience that you almost have to see in order to understand and then believe in. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Having said that, I really enjoyed the Gear VR, and it made me very more curious about VR than I was beforehand. So,
all right, we all have more. We're not even halfway through.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking this company away from me.
No problem.
So I appreciate it.
I have Huawei. I can say it.
Huawei. So I can say it too. Huawei.
All right, we're gonna speed through these. Samsung and HTC, obviously the biggies from the conference. Huawei also had some pretty interesting stuff. The Huawei Watch. Huawei Watch.
Huawei Watch.
Huawei Watch. It's about helpful. Pretty stylish. It is Android Wear. It has a sapphire crystal display, stainless steel body, 1.4-inch circular 400x400 display. That's 286 pixels per inch. It's running a Snapdragon SoC, 512 megs RAM, 4 gigs storage, has a heart rate sensor, has a 6-axis sensor and barometer, so doing things like steps, distance, calories burned. Huawei includes 40 watch faces. They also have a partnership with Jawbone for syncing data to the Up app. And that release date and price is not announced. It actually looks like a pretty nice phone.
It's really nice. Yeah. I mean, it is really – it's taking the idea of, like, this is a watch that runs Android Wear as opposed to this is an Android watch.
Yeah.
You know, which
It is the Android Wear watch face, so it is a digital screen, even though a lot of the screenshots make it look very analog.
Yep.
So I'm sure it looks a little more fake when you see it in person versus seeing it in an image,
the renderings
and online, but it's still, the design of the watch looks pretty nice. Yeah. And some of the watch faces actually look pretty sweet as well. TalkBand B2 activity tracker was what you were showing at first. That's was also announced. It includes a 6-axis tracker. It can pair with more than one device at one time. 5 days of use on a charge, although much more of that on standby than that on standby. And it's available end of April with no price yet. And then the MediaPad X2 tablet, 7-inch HD IPS display with 323 pixels per inch. Kind of a slim-bodied tablet with a 64-bit octa-core chipset. It's 4G LTE enabled. Also has dual SIM capability. 5,000 milliamp hour battery, 13-megapixel rear-facing camera, 5-megapixel front, 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of storage. There is a premium version with 3 gigs of RAM and 32 gigs of storage, and no pricing and date available on that as well. Looks like a nice tablet. Yeah. But I definitely, personally, I think the Huawei Watch is kind of the one from Huawei that I'm very interested in seeing. Huawei Watch.
The Huawei Watch is the one I want. Like, it just, well, Huawei is becoming a very well-rounded company, I think. No, but becoming very, very well-rounded. Huawei is well-rounded in terms of their product offering. between the phones to the watch to the activity tracker to the tablet. I mean, a Huawei customer has a little bit of everything now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good. Can I get a bunny rabbit for Smet for that watch, please?
Did you witness the Huawei watch in person?
I did see one. That's good.
Well, sorry. Did you get to see it in person?
Yes, I did. Thanks.
All right.
See, you at least the alliteration that got
just,
me.
Yeah, it's just
you
hard.
You witnessed the Huawei watch.
And we can actually excuse Mateo for cracking up to this because he's been up for like 72 hours straight. And
I had have no
a
couple excuse.
Of drinks. We have no excuse. It's just this kind of day. Anyways, Huawei watch.
Wow.
Okay, we need to move on. Enough with the W's. Right, I can't take it anymore.
What an offering by Huawei. Sony was also there. And Sony, for you Sony enthusiasts who are waiting for the new Xperia tablet, the Xperia 7.4 tablet, it's still waterproof. Now it's running Lollipop.
Wallipop? Did you almost just say Wallipop?
Waterproof running Wallipop. It's got a keyboard dock attachment, you know, for the productivity. It's also, I clicked away here. It's got a 10-inch 2K display, and it's running a Snapdragon 810 with a 6,000 milliamp battery. It's got 32 gigs of storage, microSD, LTE, and Wi-Fi only variants. It's going to come out in June, and we don't have pricing yet. So Sony Xperia, nice 10-inch tablet that's the kind of leans on the productivity side mm-hmm. with that keyboard attachment. Seems pretty flexible. And Sony's still plugging along with the tablets.
Yeah, except aren't they getting out of the mobile
Seems to
thing?
Be, yeah. Well, they're just holding on.
Yeah, so. Which, I don't know. It's a pretty nice-looking tablet. And then finally, this one, I don't know if it necessarily qualifies as Mobile World Congress news, but it did happen right before Mobile World Congress, and I would say it came with as much fanfare as almost anything else. Well, okay. Didn't quite have S6 or M9, weight to it, but the Moto E definitely had a lot of people talking. That's probably because it was timed to happen before Mobile World Congress. $150 unlocked. Wow. Motorola sent out, actually, I didn't think about it before the show. Leo did receive it, sent out this really elaborate unfolding box that was basically like a presentation on a fake stage with the phone. And it was really cool. It was a very unique kind of way to introduce the device. But it's $150 all in. It's LTE capable. You know, just
a neat little phone. Look at that. Yeah,
4.5-inch, 960x540 display, 1.2 gigahertz Snapdragon 410. So, you know, a pared down processor, 1 gig of RAM, 8 gig storage. Does have microSD. It has a 5-megapixel rear-facing camera. No, it does have a front-facing camera this time. Didn't before. 2390 milliamp hour battery. This is a pretty awesomely kind of put together device for hardly anything in comparison to its competition. Although, $150.
Can you go back to the photo there, Zach? I unless it's closed, but I will say with that bezel compared to the Edge and compared to the M9, everything we're looking at, it looks like a Fisher Price phone, doesn't it? It's funny how we're getting conditioned towards this bezel-less world.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the appeal of the Moto E. It's not the super sexy, super glass or metal device, but it's functional. It's a really good phone, and I believe I reviewed it on All About Android last year with you guys. It's a great phone. They've just improved on that by adding things that people thought were not there, such as the selfie camera. My Moto E is with my friend Gemma, who has a selfie stick and can't use the Moto E with it. So now she has a good reason to upgrade to the new version of the Moto E. They've also made the screen slightly bigger, so it must be easier to type on
and
with two thumbs.
And, of course, it's running Lollipop right out of the package. So,
but is it running Wallipop?
Wallipop. I don't know. I never want the letter W to come up on this show ever again.
Cool. So that was Mobile World Congress.
Yeah, more or less. What else did we miss? Anything?
It was interesting to see Lenovo's stand now includes Motorola. So that's finally sunk in.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And there's a few comments on my image I put on Google Plus of the stand. People were quite sad to see that happen. So Motorola now really all in. So the Moto X, the Moto G, the Moto E were all being displayed next to the Lenovo phones. They had their own little section in the stand, but it's all one now.
So is it soon to be the Lenovo Moto E instead of the Motorola Moto E?
We'll carry on being Motorola. Industry insiders like ourselves will call it Lenovorola.
Okay, of course.
But yes, we'll stay the Motorola Moto E because the Motorola brand is still very, very strong.
Yeah, it really is right now.
Not only in the US, but across the world.
Yeah.
Lenovorola works a lot better than...
They sound good.
They're good.
They kind of sound like they're making fun of themselves, though, if they do that. So maybe they shouldn't do that. Let's take a break. We have a lot more to talk about, obviously. A lot of news that's outside of Motorola or Motorola, outside of Mobile World Congress, although we have a little bit more to talk about there. But before we get there, let's thank our first sponsor of today's episode. That is HipChat, all about communication with your team. How is your team communicating? Are they using a variety of email, IM, texting, cloud storage? Document sharing apps from all over the place. HipChat puts everything in one place and is designed specifically for business. So HipChat's IM, it's video chat, it's document sharing, screen sharing, system updates, code sharing, all integrated in one simple platform. Email's slow. It's too slow. Meetings get sidetracked. IM doesn't work well for groups, but HipChat keeps your team in sync, and it works from any device no matter where you happen to be. And the best part, HipChat integrates with the top developer tools, so GitHub, Jira, Zendesk. You can check out more than 57 services, in fact, that HipChat plays nice with. HipChat brings your entire project and team communications together, and it's easy to set up, it's fun to use, makes your team super productive. We use it here in the Twit studio to communicate with each other and keep on task. And it's super useful. It's all about getting your team on the same page in seconds and kind of integrating all of these separate parts into one communication tool. And you can check it out for yourself. There's a freemium version that you can use for free forever. But for the next 30 days, you'll get the full version of HipChat, which includes the bonus features of video and screen sharing. You can try HipChat free, no credit card required. Just visit hipchat.com/allaboutandroid. Sign up, click on start chatting, then invite a few team members and try it free for 30 days. And actually, for the first 100 signups, HipChat is going to extend their 30-day free offer to 90 days. That's 3 months right there. Remember, that's hipchat.com/allaboutandroid. HipChat, your team, your project in sync instantly. We thank HipChat for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. All right, cool stuff there. But, okay, so we did the switcheroo. So instead of going into hardware, now we're going to the news bumper right now.
This week in Android News, Cranky Hippo gets replaced by Eskimo Zach.
Whoa.
Oh, that's almost breaking news.
I just learned something about you, Zach. Is this a thing? Are you an Eskimo? Do you have Eskimo in your blood?
I'm actually part Eskimo. I've got a little bit of Eskimo in my blood. When I found that out in eighth grade, I thought it was so cool. I put it in my screen names.
That is cool, actually. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
It's a lot cooler screen name than one I had when I was in eighth grade. So,
What was it?
Rad Dude.
Rad Dude, that's pretty common.
Yeah,
that's pretty
standard. It was also 1990, 1991.
One of mine was Ducky. Do you remember the movie that's from?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Oh, God, Jason. That's another reason why I love you.
I'll just say, just real quick tangent here.
All right, sure.
When I was really young, bulletin boards, my name was Ducky, but I really wanted to get in with all the hip kids on the bulletin boards and everything.
Yep.
And I found out that they were having a pizza night at a pizzeria. So I asked my mom to take me to the pizzeria, and they took my order, but I was still very scared to go in the other room where they all were and meet them face to face. So they took my order. I was pretty young, and my name got called on the thing. It's like, Ducky, your pizza's ready, Ducky. And I heard from the other room,
you ordered the pizza.
All these laughs. That was my awesome trip to the BBS meetup with my mom. Yeah, I was pretty young. I think I was like fifth grade or sixth grade.
I have a similar yet not as embarrassing story, but I was doing the BBS thing and we all had handles and I had a couple people who I had bridged from the handle and thing to like actually got phone numbers and would talk and like were working on stuff. Uh-huh. And but there was one guy who was a great ANSI artist. Do you remember ANSI artist?
Yeah, I remember ANSI.
And he agreed to do the art for my BBS. And he's like, yeah, just give me a call. But I realized I didn't know his name. And so I called his house, and his mom answered. I was like, is Shadow Demon there? And, like, and his mother's like, it's for you. He's like, what kind of idiot are you? Don't, he's like, use my real name. And I was like, I didn't know your real name. I was like 12. I'm sorry.
Hello? Can I talk to Shadow Demon?
Embarrassing. Anyway.
Oh, it's a good thing BBSs don't exist anymore because you can't embarrass yourself on the internet.
I miss them. Get me a Telegard installation and I would go to town. That would be fantastic.
I miss them as well. Yeah,
a whole different world, you youngins, that's what we're talking about. All right, so let's go back to Barcelona. Let's go back to Mobile World Congress. Set the stage for Google's presentation when Mr. Sundar Pichai takes the stage and had a lot to say. First off, the topic we've been hearing speculation of the whether or not Google's going to enter the MVNO space. Sundar confirmed that Google is going to work on an MVNO mobile network to hit the United States and that cell and Wi-Fi will merge seamlessly. And we're really excited because we have Sundar here.
Oh, is he here
today to tell us more about this?
Is it modern Sundar?
It might be a new look to Sundar.
Oh, man. I hope. Oh,
and there he is.
Hey.
And,
oh, hi, Sundar.
What a shirt you're wearing, Sundar. What about this MVNO? Well, Sundar says, we don't intend to be a network operator at scale. We're actually working with carrier partners. We'll announce something in the coming months.
Oh, thank you, Sundar. It's great for you to come on the show and talk to us.
That's a sharp shirt. Yeah, well, that's not all he has to say.
Oh.
That's not all he has to say. As we alluded to earlier, he also confirmed the rumors about Android Pay.
Okay.
Sundar talked about Android Pay, which would be a new framework for mobile payments. Not yet.
We're not there. We're summarizing. Not there, Sundar. Sundar, quiet down, Sundar.
You'll get your moment. You'll get your chance, sir. Please sit. Android Pay will be a new framework for mobile payments that developers can use to integrate mobile payments infrastructure into their apps securely via APIs. Google will issue a one-time token for payment info transmission, similar to Apple Pay and Samsung Pay. And what Sundar has to say about that is...
Come back, Sundar. We want to talk to you
now. Front.
Oh, there
he says, we are doing it in a way... As he clicks away. We are doing it in a way which anybody else can build payments... Sorry. We are doing it in a way in which anybody else can build a payment service on top of Android. So in places like China and Africa, we hope that people will use Android Pay to build innovative services. Thank you, Sundar.
So that is
an important distinction that... I think a lot of people missed when they said that because when this news came out, everyone's like, oh, what? So they've got Google Wallet. Now they've got Android Pay. Which one do you use? Whatever. And Android Pay is not meant to replace Google Wallet. In fact, Google Wallet will probably work on top of Android Pay like other payment systems, right? I mean, do I have that correct or am I a moron?
I mean, nope. Yeah. One, you are not a moron. Two, yes. No, this Android Pay is meant to be kind of part of the, you know, an extension of Google Wallet, essentially. So it's not a replacing sort of thing. It's, you know, giving developers access to that, which I'm sure
and the API level, agree that is great.
Yeah. I would imagine this would be something that Skyscanner might be interested in tapping into at some point, just guessing, maybe, possibly.
Well, I can't say anything about that because I really don't know anything about it.
Yeah,
but, I'm sure.
I mean, as a developer, what are the kinds of things like? How do you think about this as far as like what it could bring to something you're working on?
Well, there are lots of things that we always look at. Skyscanner are constantly looking at improving and making their products better or taking advantage of what's on specific platforms. Who knows? We can't say what's coming. Because we don't know ourselves sometimes. But this is still early days. Android Pay is still only a rumor. We'll find out more about it at Google I.O.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting to see Sundar making these kind of statements, which are clearly things that are going to be unveiled at Google I.O. So, you know, we know Android Pay will be something now that will be at Google I.O. You got to imagine the MVNO will get more details, if not launch, after Google I.O.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that he takes to the Mobile World Congress stage to kind of start sowing the seeds or planting the seeds of what's to come this May and June. Mm-hmm. I'll be curious to see how IO starts to take shape.
Yeah.
Because right after this, next week, we start IO speculation.
Right? I know, it's true. It's... Yeah.
Mobile payments is still a very fragmented and I'd say not friction-free. It has quite a lot of friction in the sign-up and use process at the moment. Mm-hmm. So it's still very early days. We never know. There might be some other platform on the way that will take everyone by surprise.
Well, I and who knows, Android Pay might take everyone by surprise. I thought the mention and the focus of developing countries in China and India and stuff like that really kind of made it clear what this was for. Like, this almost mm-hmm. might not, I mean, we'll get it and it will work and whatever, but we kind of already have it. It's kind of how they do the international
right.
payments, which I haven't really seen anybody else, you know, kind of.
How they embrace their previous kind of, proclamation that they're trying to reach the next billion. And that extends into payments, which is
and this is on message. Yeah, this is exactly if you think about what's been going on with Google, it's been less about the U.S. or Western market, and more about India and China and things like that. So we'll be curious.
At an entirely different conference, the Game Developers Conference,
which has flooded my city
in San Francisco, has it?
Yeah. You could tell yesterday. Like once I took Bart back in the city, I was like, oh, GDC.
There we go. That's happening in SF, of course. Google announced a new nearby connections API for developers. This will actually enable developers to connect devices to Android TV, specifically for the purposes of gaming. You can do things like second screen info on your mobile device in your hand, controls for what's happening on the screen, and localized gaming. So, you could connect up to 4 different devices to the Android TV to do a multiplayer game of the thing that's running on Android TV. Pretty cool stuff.
Very cool.
Definitely good for the purposes of gaming.
Really curious about Android TV. I'm hoping that as we start Google, have we officially started Google I.O. speculation now? Because I really hope we see more about Android TV at Google I.O.
Yeah, I do too.
Because I feel like that's something that we haven't gotten anything from.
And by that point, it will have been a year since we heard the last.
Right.
It's so crazy. Yeah. Time's a weird thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, talk about other crazy. Remember how Google announced it was going to default to full disk encryption on devices running Lollipop?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Google is quietly reversing and backing away from that decision, apparently, as new devices from Google are appearing without encryption activated out of the box. Google hasn't addressed the switch officially yet,
but so, it's happening, and
it's happening.
If Lollipop devices are launching and being received, and that encryption isn't active by default, then that kind of goes against what Google said many months ago when it switched over. I'm wondering if it has something to do with just performance in general, because there was all that news about the Nexus 6 and how its sluggishness could have been attributed to the fact that it was encryption that was, happening out of the box. And who knows, maybe they're just kind of loosening up on that to give people, OEMs a chance to kind of ramp into it in some way that doesn't hurt as much, I guess, for the user anyways. And if you have anything, just jump in there, Mateo. I realize you probably didn't notice whether encryption was active by default while you were at Mobile World Congress, but what do you think about this stuff? You have anything to thoughts?
Many of the devices at some of the stands I've been to are still running KitKat, so it's not really an issue for those devices.
Right.
But then again, the versions of Lollipop that I have seen have often been very skinned, so the likes of Alcatel have their own skin on top of Androids, which makes it difficult to consider it a stock Android experience. So will it have encryption? Unlikely, as it comes out of the box.
Right. And then let's see here. So Android is ready for work. Google announced last week Android for Work. There's partnerships that Google's aiming to make Android basically a more secure and useful platform for the enterprise. There's 4 kind of components to this. Work profiles, which we've talked about before, it's isolated work data on your device, separate from your personal data, and that makes sure that the enterprise, the company that you work for, doesn't have access to the personal things you do and vice versa. Android for Work app, there's an app that is meant for devices running Ice Cream Sandwich through KitKat. because those devices can't do the work profiles out of the box. So this app kind of bridges that gap. There's Google Play for Work that enables businesses to deploy apps and manage apps for all of its users through Google Play for Work. And then productivity tools, business apps for email, for contacts, and calendar that support Exchange and Notes. So Google kind of stepping it up to try and make Android a little bit more enterprise friendly, which is definitely a good move.
Yeah, very cool.
Let's see here. Mateo, I'm pretty sure you're the one that dropped in the story about Google Play in Germany. Is that right? What's going on here? Did you do that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. I was like, did I do this in a fever dream of some sort? Like, oh, my goodness.
It wasn't me.
This was definitely me. I'm sure this is something... Ooh, I empty seat. This is something probably better suited for Jeff and Leo tomorrow and this week in Google. But it's very interesting to see that the Google Play revenue has overtaken iOS App Store revenue in Germany, according to App Annie.
Interesting.
So what has happened is the spend per device has increased by more than 50%, but overall money people in Germany are spending has grown 150% during the year of 2014, which means it's hit that critical mass and there are enough services and apps that people are willing to pay for that it's ballooned. It's become very, very big. And that's a very promising sign. If any of the listeners of All About Android watch this week in Google, they'll have heard Jeff say how Germany, from one point of view, is seen as resistant to Google and almost anti-Google from a political point of view. But users in Germany love Google. They use it a lot. And this may be testament to it, the fact that the actual expenditure in the market is that high that it has overtaken iOS.
Well, if anything, it's a good sign of things to come. I mean, if it can, if one country can, it can be overtaken. We all can do it. If we all band together, and look to Germany as a leader. Although I always worry when Germany is leading something, because
Okay. Well, it must be the superior app store.
That's a good one. All right, that's a good time to thank our sponsor. We want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. With Squarespace, it's easy for you to create a professional website, blog, or online store. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. Now listen, when it came time for me to make my own site, I only went to one spot. There was only one option for me. It was Squarespace. They make it so easy to put together a website. You don't need to know how to code. You don't need to know HTML, CSS. But if you do, they have tools that unlock all that stuff so you can do all the customizations and everything that you like to make your site perfect and beautiful every time. Here's why you're going to love Squarespace. It's simple, powerful, and beautiful. Making changes is clearer and simpler than ever. It's incredibly easy to use. And if you want some help, we all need some help sometimes, Squarespace has live chat and email support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Squarespace starts at just $8 a month, and they take care of your hosting so you don't have to, which goes a long way. If you've dealt with hosting, you never want to deal with it after that. So the fact that they take care of it makes it that much easier for your website to get live and start getting your message out to the folks that you want people to see you. You get a free domain name if you buy from Squarespace for a year. All Squarespace websites are responsive and scale to look great on any device. They've got e-commerce options are available, and every website comes with a free online store. They've got this awesome new feature called Cover Pages, where you can set up a beautiful one-page online presence in minutes. It's perfect for creating a quick landing page for your brand, personal identity, or to promote a new product. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to start a trial today with no credit card required. You just go over to Squarespace and use the offer code AboutAndroid to get 10% off your first purchase. We thank Squarespace for their support of All About Android, and keep on building it beautiful using Squarespace.
Build it beautiful. I love Squarespace.
They're great.
Because I suck at web design. I don't have to do it all myself.
The thing about Squarespace is that I'm okay at website design. I'm okay at coding. I'm okay at that stuff. But the time it takes to do a good job versus the time it takes to do it with Squarespace, less than half the time. You just boom, 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 and you're live. Mm-hmm. And it looks great. So, you know, I love to get into the code. I love to get messy with it. But Squarespace makes it that I don't have to. And so I can go spend my time building my business or doing something else or posting on Twitter and telling people to go look at my wonderful website. So thank you, Squarespace.
There you go. All right. Now we're back on our normal routine because next we're going to take a look at some apps.
All right. And it wouldn't be a fun time to talk about apps if we weren't tearing apart an APK, at least the folks at Android Police were tearing apart an APK, and we were talking about it. So the new YouTube app rolled out, and the Android Police guys tear apart the APK of version 10.08. And you got a bunch of new stuff in here. The big thing that everyone, that was closest to the big thing that everyone was excited is that Stats for Nerds finally came out, which is information that's been a long time available on the YouTube website. But now, via the app, it gives users a simple, although not that pretty, interface to view technical details about a video stream from YouTube. So it's finally just going live now. So to turn it on, if you go to the Overflow menu, then to Settings, the General, then to Stats for Nerds, once you check that on, start a video and tap on the Overflow menu, which shows the less frequently used actions for videos. Then tap the Stats button to display an overlay with detailed information. The overlay will remain on top of all videos until it's either dismissed or by the Stats button on the Overflow screen.
Those stats definitely are for nerds.
Those are big time. But those video nerds, they believe they need that. They love
that
stuff.
They need to know.
So in addition to Stats for Nerds, they've also they're preparing to add crossfading between music tracks, which is something that might seem like a nice to have, but if you're an audiophile, it's absolutely required. And with YouTube, with the match going on with Google Play and the integration and the allowance of music on YouTube, crossfade is an important thing. They're also adding support for 4K and spherical search filters and a bunch more little small technical detail stuff. So YouTube app getting some major updates.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, did either of you guys know that Google made a game? For Android?
I've heard rumors.
See, this like took me by surprise, and then I stumbled across it.
You mean Ingress?
Oh, well, that wasn't really Google making the game.
True, yeah.
Google actually developed a game called Pi Noon. And
Is that a pun?
I think it is. Let's see here. Oh, and by the way, Zach, I just plugged this in. You should have an audio input for... There we go. So, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting. I'll just show it off here real quick because Google doesn't often develop games. But basically, I'll admit it's not the most exciting game in the world. But essentially, you're this guy and you're throwing pies. You throw pies. You block them when they're thrown at you and they bounce back. But of course, they're not throwing them at me. And you just want to be the last one standing. It's actually very hard. I'm kind of bad at it. And you throw pies. I just thought it was kind of interesting. You know, we see Google create a lot of things. We don't necessarily see them create games very often.
So what's the point? No, I mean, not to throw the pies, but why did they do it? Like, is it, I assume it's free, right?
It is free.
So what is it showing off?
You know, that's a good question.
Like, because I imagine Google doesn't do things unless they have a purpose, right?
Yeah, no, you know what? I should have probably read up on it.
No, I mean, maybe
it
doesn't.
A simple game created to demonstrate multi-user access. To
so
a consumer application
TV?
For the Nexus Player, an Android TV device.
So it ties to the earlier story.
It ties in to the earlier story. There we go. That's the piece that I was missing.
If we had Android TV, and
we would
I
be
had
able to control all four of those people simultaneously on our own devices.
Pretty cool.
There we go. So if you want to try it out for yourself and try out what we were talking about earlier, hey, we discovered that live.
There you go. That happened.
Well, I probably should have read into that. I was just kind of surprised that there was a game that Google created because that never happens. I was like, whoa.
That's why I was going to be like, why did they do this? Why like, there's going to be a purpose every time before they do something.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You're an Android gamer. Had you played Pi Noon? Are you impressed thoroughly, Mateo?
I haven't played Pi Noon yet. I haven't had much time to play games recently.
Oh, that's true. I was going to say there's not enough goats in Pi Noon, but...
well,
something
if they put in
different.
Goats. Yeah.
Don't remind me of the goats. Finally, in apps, and Google's been busy, but one of the biggest complaints about the recent Google Calendar has been the lack of some of the views and features, and now the update to Google Calendar addresses many of those. So now Google Calendar for Android gets a 7-day week view.
Yes.
And Jason's got
to
show it off here.
I can prove it. 7 days.
Camera shot, Zach. He can... He can show you. He can prove it. There you go.
Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
There's 7 days.
It actually lines up perfectly because of...
Because March started on the 1st.
Yeah, so yeah. There we go.
There you go. It's also got pinch to zoom, which is a neat little function that you can...
Oh, that's one I haven't tried yet. Here, I probably need to
that's
go.
That's one of the things that we were complaining about when they moved from KitKat to Lollipop.
Can't prove that one.
Yeah.
For the single day?
Day?
There it is. There it is.
There we go.
Yeah. So
okay. If I had a lot of things, then that would be really impressive.
And it's also got Drive integration to events, so you can now integrate Drive files with a single event. If you're holding a meeting and there are the key files that you want to go with the meeting, everybody can have the link to it within the event. So small little changes, but there's stuff that people have been complaining about. So it's nice to see Google is responding and keeping the app, kind of current.
Totally. So,
yeah.
I like the 7 days, even though it's all squished. I like having it.
I like 5 days. That's my 5 day views. I have the weekend. Forget the week. I don't put stuff in my calendar on the weekend.
Oh, I do.
I'm lucky. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, your week is all your week's
birthday parties.
Oh, right. Yeah. Bouncy houses.
You know, they're those are usually one and the same, by the way.
Trade shows and conferences.
Yeah.
That happens on the weekends. I don't go to many of those, though. But anyways,
mobile payments.
There we go. Okay, so we got some emails, obviously, about mobile payments, because that was what we talked about a lot last week and continue to talk about. James wrote in to say, just a quick note about the mobile payment apps. I work at an Office Depot in Fort Worth, Texas. In theory, we're set up to accept any of the payment systems down to PayPal. Apple Pay had been used twice, and the third time locked up the register so badly it needed a hard reboot. Using my Nexus 5 with Google Wallet, I had to manually enter my phone number and PIN, which was still rejected, so not ready. I suspect new stores with updated hardware aren't having these issues. Ironically, the Google-issued MasterCard has become my go-to payment option for online shopping since I can lock the card when I'm not actively using it. Before, I had to call Bank of America fraud line at least once a month because the same two vendors always tripped their algorithm. Not anymore. P.S. It should be noted that the Girl Scouts selling cookies out in front of the store are making a killing with the Samsung phone and the Square card reader. Yep, our point-of-sale system, powered by Oracle, running on IBM hardware, is getting its butt kicked by a bunch of 12-year-old girls.
I love when I see that. I love when you see the Girl Scouts out there on the street selling cookies and they're UN Square and they're so.
Oh, those Girl Scouts.
The whole mobile payment thing, I know we got heated last week when we were talking about it, and I laugh because I've listened to a bunch of other podcasts of people talking about Apple Pay and all this other stuff, and just no one's using it. They as this email attests, it has a long way to go. I think it has a very long way to go, and a lot of it is not only just the services on the phone, but like he points out, these archaic POSs with different, which stand for point of sale, not anything else.
Yes.
But these
important to note,
these point of sale systems that weren't built for this sort of interface, and now we're trying to adapt to it.
It's interesting to see that the Samsung S6 has that payments thing that will interact with older hardware that just needs the mag stripe.
Yep.
So, it'll be interesting.
Well, that's LuPay's big LuPay and Samsung. What they're hoping is their big competitive advantage is that LuPay apparently works on 90% of point of sale systems, which I think is a very large claim to make, but I guess time will tell as people start, once the phone rolls out and people start using it. But I'm kind of curious about LuPay. I want to set it up and try it. But,
yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, before we dive into the arena, let's thank our final sponsor of today's episode. That would be LegalZoom. I love LegalZoom. If you're thinking about starting a business, now is the best time. It's actually National Start Your Business Month at LegalZoom.com, and it's never been easier to start building your future. LegalZoom provides the support that you need. For more than 10 years, they've helped 1 million business owners, just like you. So if you need advice for your business, no problem. LegalZoom's not a law firm, but they've built a network of trusted attorneys to provide the guidance you need for your specific situation. And here's the best part. During National Start Your Business Month, LegalZoom is offering an attorney consultation for only $50. If you're unsure about the best way to start, or if you already run a business and need some advice, this offer is for you. Get legal advice for your business with no further obligation for a low one-time cost. Go to LegalZoom.com today. You can find out more there. Attorney consultations are provided by independent attorneys available in most states. Get the legal help you need for your business at LegalZoom.com and enter offer code AAA in the referral box to save even more. That's LegalZoom.com and use promo code AAA. Make sure to do that and you'll save even more. Legal help is here. Thank you, LegalZoom, for your support of All About Android and Twit Network and for helping me set up my living will and trust years ago. It was very easy and we still have it and love it. So thank you. Well, I mean, as much as you can love a will, because it's kind of a weird thing setting up a will.
I love this will.
You realize your mortality when you're setting up a will. You're like, oh, this could actually happen. But anyways, they made it easy. So check it out. LegalZoom.com. All right. Zach, I hope you're ready for possibly the most important part of this show. It's time we jump into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right, so
this is the year of Jason.
Is it? Well, it's early. We're talking.
Well, you're running.
Of March.
You're running, man. I've only got one win.
You can change, man. You can change. Last week we had Urban Engines, Next Lock Screen, Raindar, and Sound HUD. And yes, Sound HUD wins with 47% of the votes. Second place appears to be Urban Engines.
Yep. So which edged out. It was a very neck and neck race between second, third, and fourth. I was watching all week.
Yep.
And you know, Next Lock Screen would go up, and then Raindar would go up, and then Urban Engines would go up. And so
looks like Urban Engines at 18%, and then Next and Raindar tied for third place at 17%. So there we go. I suppose, Ron, that means that you,
I gotta go first,
kind sir, have to go first.
Well, we were talking before the show started about how it's very hard to find these apps now. There are many, many apps. There are millions of apps. And there are many apps that do a lot of the same things, and that's why we got to look at the Android, All About Android app list to make sure we're not duplicating an app and that sort of thing. But every now and then you find an app that does something that you've seen it been done before, but it's doing it in a new way. It's moving it. It's iterating. It's moving it a little forward. And this week I'm looking at one of those such apps, and it's called Tab. The simple bill splitter. And basically what it is it's a cool way to figure out who's got to pay what on the check when you go out to eat. If you're like me, you go out and often like to go out to dinner with lots of friends, you know, 5, 6, 7 people. And then when that bill comes, the longer it is, the more painful it is to figure out how much everybody owes. And you hope for the day when you get to the point where you're wealthy enough that you don't have to worry about it. You can just split it and not worry about it. But when you're in your 20s or early 30s, whatever, if you didn't drink that night, you don't want to pay for somebody else's drinks. You want to just pay for what you ordered. And so Tab makes it a lot easier to analyze the bill, calculate who's got to pay what, and they do it in a very clever way, and we'll show you how to do it now. So what we've got is when we open up the app. Okay, I'm just going to move this. Didn't even look at this.
No. Okay,
when you open up the app, it's kind of hard to see because it's – let me change my brightness. So there we go. You get a little half brightness. But what it does when the app opens up, it is basically just a view of the camera. Okay? Cool. So you see my hand moving behind there, right, with a little overlay. And you've got three choices. You can do a new bill. You can join a bill, or you look at your previous bills. I just happen to have a bill from dinner – from
what
a couple of months
know?
Ago
it's
in
as
my
if
wallet,
you planned
as if I had
this.
Planned this. So here is a check from a dinner I had in New York City, okay, back in October. And so when the waiter comes with the bill, all you have to do is you open up Tab and you say new bill, and you frame up the bill. This is really cool. All right. So you frame it up, and you take a picture of it. Okay. The app takes a picture of the bill. So see, that is the same bill. Okay. And it gives you the option to take a new pic or to use this one. I'm going to say, let's use this. And then the magic happens where it uploads the photo and then uses OCR to detect the words on the bill and the numbers that are due. So first it says, what's your nickname? So how do I want to be known to the people? And so it's preloaded with Ron. So I just say save. And so now here you go on the bill. And Jason, if you want to verify this on the bill, the first thing was a Manhattan for $15.
There were two of them.
Two Manhattans for $15. Correct.
Okay, all right.
A Canadian Club, two for $12.
Okay.
A bib salad for $15.
Definitely a bib.
A Caesar salad for $14.
Yeah.
An 8-ounce filet for $45.
Two of those.
Two of them right there.
Oh,
cream
split.
Spinach for $12. Wild mushroom for $12. All right. And so now this bill happens to pick up it. This restaurant sums up the food and sums up the liquor. So it detected that. I don't want that. So what I can do is I just tap on it and then I get the option to either edit it or trash it or divide it. So I'm going to trash that. I'm just going to take that off the bill. Delete it. I'm going to delete the liquor. Delete it. And so now you have an exact replication of the bill.
Yeah.
So now let's say I'm with Jason and we're going to split it. Jason, do you have this app on your phone?
I do. Yeah, I happen to have it because you asked me to install it.
All right. So if you
I have to find it though. There it is.
All right. So if you choose, all right, let's get the tutorial. Join Bill.
Join Bill.
And enter code 1281.
1281.
All right.
Joining. Okay.
Type in your nickname.
Jay. All right.
That's awesome. It's good stuff. But do you now see the same bill I see?
I do, Ron. I do indeed.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And so then do I claim?
Yes. So now if you, let's say you had the Manhattan, you take that. And
Jay got this.
All right. And I'm going to say I got the other Manhattan.
Okay. I also had a Canadian club.
I got the Caesar. You got the bib.
I got the bib.
I got one of the fillets.
Yeah, I got one.
And let's split the sides. I'll take the mushrooms. You take the spinach.
Okay. I'll take the spinach.
All right.
Okay. Wow. I spent a lot.
That's pretty cool. Okay. But it tells you your subtotal is $99.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, so now on my side, I can go over to tax and tip and I get the subtotal. Figure out, it calculates what the tip is. You can add some more if you want to. You get the grand total. You can adjust how much you want to tip it.
Yeah. Wow, this was an expensive dinner.
Well, yeah, it was New York City. So it was a steak restaurant in New York City.
All right.
But yeah, and so then that basically, it makes it easier to figure out who owes what. And so now you should, if you're doing your pre-tip amount and or your tip amount, it says that you should be kicking in $127 to the total bill, which is $238.
Fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
So,
should I be concerned that this place is called the Strip House?
Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
So, but yeah, but so what's neat is that once you get to the total, as the organizer of the dinner, I get my total. I see my total is pre-tip, and with the tip and all up, how much we owe, and then I can tap over and I can see what Jason's total is. So, and you get these little bars for everybody else in your party. So it makes it that much easier to calculate who owes what for dinner.
Nice.
So pretty neat. Use your camera. Neat use of OCR software. I tried it with a couple of different receipts, and it got it every time. So it's doing a really good job in terms of detecting those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And the calculations go pretty simple. It factors in that the tip, which is always a pain in the butt because you get into percentages and things like that. So it's called Tip, the Simple Bill Splitter. Guaranteed to make less arguing at the dinner table. And make splitting the bill a little more fun with everybody on their phone.
I do find it interesting that if you cut to the product camera for a second, the main screen is just kind of showing camera pass through.
Well, because I think that's the key aspect of that's the key function of the app. It's going to take a picture of the bill.
It's just interesting that it does that when you're not doing that.
Yeah,
is that so that like when you're at the table, you can still see the person while you're while you're factoring things out? You're keep talking to me.
Well,
it's
no, what
cool.
I thought
I
about it
you.
Is that when the bill comes, you take your phone out and you open up the app, and then you're seeing through the camera, and more often than not, the bill is right in front of you.
Yeah.
And so then it just kind of eases the flow. So there you go.
All right. Cool. That's neat. That is Tab, the Simple Bill Splitter. Okay.
Thank you for participating on that.
No problem.
I felt like it was a magic trick.
We're going to be going out for dinner tonight, so we'll put this to
we'll
use.
Use it then. Yeah.
If Tab wins the arena this week, I think it should be half points then.
Why? Because of my shared involvement?
Oh, it should be 0.5.
However, I will remind you, Mateo, that I'm going to be running your app. So maybe I just get a piece of everybody's
app
tonight.
Maybe, yeah, I think so. You get a little piece of the action.
Although, you know what? Yours failed to install. Hold on, let me Oh, that's a bummer. Why did it fail to install? Okay, let me try and do
Should
this.
Should I put it on my tablet?
I just think that
there's a YouTube video in the App Store.
Well, why don't you lead us in? Why don't you tell us
lead
about
us
it
in, and I'm going to try and get this installed real quick here.
So just to give you a bit of background, last time I was on All About Android, I won the arena that week.
With an infamous win.
Yes, I brought Goat Simulator into the arena, and Julie won. So I was thinking, what better to do than contribute to Team G&G, that's Team Gina and Guests, than to rack up another win. So I've decided to come to the arena this week with Cat Simulator.
Of course.
Very, very, very similar to Goat Simulator. And the reason I chose Cat Simulator is because we all know that the day after Friday is either known as Goater Day or Catter Day. So,
Goater Day? That's the first time I've heard of Goater Day, but okay, continue.
Is that, if you go on Google Plus and hashtag Goater Day, it's there. So has the app installed?
Yes,
yet?
It is loading now.
I couldn't get it on my phone, but we have it on the tablet.
Yeah.
So this is similar. It's a third-person simulator of cats. Unlike Goat Simulator, it's built very well, and you're less likely to end up stuck within polygons of the virtual world you're operating in.
It's kind of a
bummer. It's not as amusing. There aren't as many bugs, but it is amusing to play. So you start off the first mission in the house. You need to get to grips. It's a well-guided through game with tutorials and prompts to do things. And there you go. And now you can move around the house. It's a virtual environment, and your challenge is to be an annoying little cat who destroys things, jumps around, annoys people.
This really is like Goat Simulator for cats.
It is.
Yeah, scratch up that chair.
And I trust that Brian will do the correct thing once he feels better. He'll play a bit of Cat Simulator. When he gets to the second level, so out in the garden, there will be a puppy corgi. So I'm sure that will have won his vote.
Supposed to play with two hands.
I know, yeah, you are. I really hate cats, so this is... All right, there we go. That's a lot better. There we go.
Oh.
Look at that. I'm eating.
Oh, see, and cats... This is unfair because cats usually win everything on the internet.
Cats.
Yeah. So, well, that's the whole point. We all know that the internet's all
that's
about
why
cats.
I chose it.
Try to destroy TV. That's my task right now. So I'm going to go find the TV. How do you destroy it?
Oh, there it is.
Oh. It's playing real football, that one we Europeans play.
That cat can jump. Get it, oh. get it.
I knocked it down. Die.
Yeah, get it. Scratch it up.
Yeah. I knocked it down. Does that destroy?
Okay. Okay, so you spend some time in the house and then you go out in the garden?
Yes, once you've finished the various initial missions and tutorials, you get out into the garden where, just like in Goat Simulator, there's a barbecue going on.
I totally destroyed that TV.
Oh, so the guy has to go read a book. How horrible! Reading? He's watching TV. Oh, whatever.
Is he listening to audible audiobooks or is it actually a book?
Awesome. All right. So this is it's mission based. The three stars at the end of the level. How many levels or missions does it have? Does it tell you that at all?
I haven't actually got all the way through it. I still have quite a lot of fun at the barbecue scene, which is the second one. So after the one you've just completed, there
you gotta watch an ad.
You go out into the garden. Yes, it's a free application in the Google Play Store, but it is supported by ads.
All right, here I am. I'm outside. Oh, there's the corgi. Is that a corgi? Chasing the corgi.
Chase faster!
A corgi.
Kitten hunter.
He's got small legs, but...
I know, but man... Kind of
never underestimate corgis.
Apparently not. So this is Cat Simulator 2015 by Swift Apps. And it is free. Your cat does chores. Eat, sleep, scratch, make a mess. Destroy objects. Has stunning graphics, says the Play Store.
These graphics are stunning. I will give them that.
Are they stunning you?
Yeah.
9 locations. Floors, you know, different floors in a house, third house, so different houses. And look at this. You can upgrade and dress your cat.
Ooh, I just got the mat. I ruined the barbecue.
All sorts of stuff. Sweet. We'll see how this performs. We'll see if your streak with simulators actually happens.
Well, I've now played the goat and cats card. I don't know what comes next.
I'm not sure where you go from here. You might have to go to, like, Flight Simulator or something. You know, different entirely. No?
Yes, we'll see.
All right.
So far, Cat Simulator. Check please that. Vote for Cat Simulator.
Check it out. I've got the meat from the barbecue.
Lettuce times two? I didn't see any lettuce there. All right, cool.
Team G&G, Gene and guests, vote for Cat Simulator.
All right,
check it out, Cat Simulator. And, okay, so my app, doing something a little different this week because today has been kind of crazy, and I found myself in an uncomfortable position where I was like, God, I can't find something that I want to feature. Well, I do have an app that I want to feature, but I'm also featuring it on the other show this week. I was like, what do I do?
You don't want to cheat on your other show, huh?
So I'm reviewing it on both, and I'm sorry to do that, but I'm doing that because it's actually very cool.
I'm surprised it took this long for this to happen.
I know. I've been actively avoiding this, to make sure that I don't do this, but I didn't have any other choice, and I actually really like it a lot, so I think it's worth showing off. So let's take a look at an app called Wayfair. What is Wayfair? Wayfair is more or less, it's like a digital pen pal environment. And the idea behind Wayfair, I'm going to go ahead and launch it right now, is that you are automatically connected with a random person from around the world that's using Wayfair. The person you cannot, so they kind of curb against like abuse and stuff by not allowing you to choose what gender, and you can't be matched with someone in the same country as you.
Cool.
So you're matched with someone randomly. Caroline is in France. Was matched with Caroline. There we go. So basically, and I can go in here because there isn't a whole lot of personal anything so far. But basically, what you can do is you have 7 days with which to kind of pose questions and answers with that person about, you know, you can kind of get into details about their life and what their day-to-day experience is, or what their geography is like. What is it like to live in France? What is it like to live, you know, around the world? And that's kind of what it's tailored for. When I first signed in, it posed the question, something I do when I'm bored. And as you can see, I couldn't come up with anything with that. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to answer that. So I didn't. So I posed the question.
Neither did Caroline.
Yeah, exactly. So I pose the question, something I see every day. And of course, there's the Twit logo. I sit actually right underneath that. So I did put that there. I also put one of the Android App Arena reviews, because you can add YouTube links. Okay. It was just basically with a caption that said, this is what I do. I review apps and technology for a company called Twit. You know, she said, hey, it's nice to meet you. How are you? You work in a studio. What's your job? She ended up sending this photo that says, I'm on holidays in the mountain. So she's kind of showing, you know, in France where she's at in the mountains. I don't know exactly where this is at, thankfully.
Does your wife know you're doing this? Or?
Oh, please. but anyway, so you can choose a mission, right? So you have all of these different options with which you can choose these different missions. And they can choose to do it or not do it. And you basically have 7 days. At the end of 7 days, you're assigned a different person and from a different geographical location. And you just kind of start over. It's just kind of nifty. So let's see here. So something I said, the view from where I'm standing. Let's go ahead and do this. Take photo. The view from where I'm standing. Ron, you want to be in this?
No.
Okay. The view from where I'm standing. I'll go ahead and do this. There we go. Yes, because
it's Jasonception.
I know. All right, so there we are. So the next time, so it's like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or something. Well, you would know, Mateo, this is closer to where you are than where I am.
Yes, my watch says it's 3:47.
There you go.
Oh,
so
I hope she has her phone on silent.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, this thing actually doesn't, it isn't obnoxious like that. It kind of gives you like a notification, and that's about it. So I'll go ahead and accept that. This is the view from where I am right now. You can go ahead and send this mission or try sharing your own answer, which I've already done. Hit done. What is this? This
is the view from the set as I record a new episode.
Yeah, so just kind of an interesting way to like start up a dialogue with a random person. And I think this could be, you know, could get out of hand, I would imagine, in some style of apps. But they actually go to great lengths to try and curb abuse and all that kind of stuff. You know, people that kind of try and abuse the system. There's a reporting mechanism, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. It's just kind of an interesting way to communicate with someone randomly.
It's a neat way. It almost reminds me of that wake up app that I used. But
it reminded me of.
But the idea of that you're connected to a random person is also using it, and it's so interesting. And when will you get a chance to talk to somebody in France? You know,
exactly. And you kind of see where they're at. You know, the map, and they can share.
Now, can you only be connected to one person at a time?
Yes.
Oh wow.
So
it reminds me of before the days of the internet, when you used to have pen pals or
letter chains, exactly it,
and tell people about what you were doing, where you lived, and all that. So yes, that's actually quite interesting.
For the younger members of our audience, we used to write letters to each other, and
it's true.
And you would at least it happened to me in school or whatever, but you would say, "Oh, here's a girl in France. Write her a letter." And so you're like, "Hello, girl in France. I live in New York, and baseball's the best, and go Mets, and I like Star Wars. Do you like Star Wars?" You mail it, and then like a month later, you get a letter from a girl from France, and it's all in French, and you gotta get someone to translate it. And it turns out she doesn't know what baseball
actually
is.
Actually, has translation,
which is pretty cool. So I mean, it's a
digital pen pal.
Yeah,
it's
I like
exactly
it.
You know how I put it. It's just kind of like pen pal for the modern age.
That's cool.
And you know, every week somebody different. So, anyways, it's interesting. Nonetheless, it's Wayfair. Meet the world. Do a search for it. It's free. And, you know, meet some random people from around the world. And, I don't know. Maybe you'll end up visiting.
Never know. You find a friend.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe so.
There are tales of people that people have met in weirder ways. Let's just say that.
True that. All right. So it's time for you to vote for your favorite app from this week's episode. Go to AAAPoll.com/203. AAAPoll.com/203. And let us know which is your favorite. Is it Wayfair? Is it Tab or Cat Simulator? And I'm going to go ahead and refresh just to see where we're at right now. And it appears that Tab is winning a very narrow lead. Seven votes. Winning 43% to 29 on both the others. So there we go. Phew. So, wow, we're going to get done on time. This is crazy. I don't know how we did this on Mobile World Congress week.
It's great.
But we did. Mateo, I do not want to keep you any longer because we are totally like keeping you up far too long past your bedtime.
Oh, my gosh.
So
that's great. I really enjoyed being on the show. Thanks for having me.
Always enjoy having you on. Really appreciate your your being okay with this. You contacted me about this, you know, letting me know that you're going to be at Mobile World Congress, I think like a month and a half ago. You said it was going to be 2 a.m. And I'm just like, man, if I knew it was going to be 2 a.m., I just wouldn't do it. That's too late. But I really appreciate that you did. It's awesome. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And please do tell Mike Elgin and Miriam Jouar if they want to meet up with me to get in touch.
All right. I'll pass them the word. I know that they're there at least for another day. How much longer is Mobile World Congress? When is it done?
2 weeks.
No. Oh, geez. No way.
Don't think I could last that long.
No one should.
No, Mobile World Congress should be wrapping up on Thursday.
Okay.
And I'll be in Barcelona on Friday as well. I'm heading back to Italy on Saturday.
Excellent. Cool. Well, really appreciate you coming on. Where can people follow anything you got going on? What do you want people to know?
My personal blog is todoleo.com. You can follow me on Twitter at todoleo. And if you want to get some useful insights on my social media activity, you can look up Gina Trapani's service, ThinkUp. I have my own domain, which is todoleo.thinkup.com. And it's very, very amusing. Sometimes I really enjoy and do reshare the insights that I get given.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's good fun.
Pretty awesome stuff. All right, Mateo, we'll bring you on soon enough. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Or tonight or this morning, whatever you want to call it. Ron, what about you?
You can go to about.me/RonXO and you can find links to my Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus. I'm plus Ron Richards on Google Plus. You can check that out. I'm trying to post there more often. I got a couple posts in there today. And by day, I'm over at imagecomics.com and making some of the best comic books in the world. And so we got them available digitally on Comixology or Google Play. So go read The Walking Dead or Saga and have fun times. So,
radical. Yeah. Zach, do you want to say a word? People follow
sure,
you.
Sure, I'll plug myself.
He's got the Brian lighting going on.
Yes, you can find me at Eskimo Zach on Twitter. I've only got a few followers, so jump
do
on
it.
Board.
Twitter pile on Eskimo Zach. That's C-H-Z-A-C-H, by the way. Yeah. Right? Not C-K or K-K.
Z-A-C-H.
Right. Eskimo Zach on Twitter. Do it. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music. Yellowgoldmusic.com. I have another Android show called Android App Arena. That's at twit.tv/arena. You'll also see Wayfair over there this week. Sorry.
It's fine. It's okay.
Sorry.
There are only so many apps.
I know. I just had to do it this time. And I don't know. That's it for this week. Hey, leave us a voicemail. Love hearing from you. 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. We're at Android Show. We're on Google Plus. It's an awesome community on Google Plus. You can find us there by searching for All About Android. We're on Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. You can find show notes and past episodes of the show at twit.tv/AAA. We also have our episodes on YouTube and iTunes, of course. And finally, you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.